This is Uwe and Levi. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom. Garden of Peace, Erev Shalom Arav Shita. Learning through the Hebrew version of the book, on page 212. Talking about the importance of peace. Importance of maintaining Shalom Bayit. Importance of putting Shalom Bayit above everything else. Even above my own aspirations. My own lofty aspirations. Aspirations to advance in my Yiddishkeit, to advance in my Avodat Hashem, to do more mitzvahs, to daven more, to learn more, to study more. Even those good, lofty aspirations should come second to Shalom Bayit. Because if they compete with Shalom Bayit, then the truth is that the Yetzer Hara, they're not real. Even though they seem real, anything that competes with Shalom Bayit, it's not real. It's an imagination. I need to be very wary and very careful before I do anything that competes with Shalom Bayit, even though it seems good to me. It seems like a good idea. Right? And the more, the stronger I get in my Shalom Bayit, the stronger I'm working on it, the more I'm going to be tested. Right? I'm going to get a harder test if I'm not working on Shalom Bayit at all. So Hashem is going to test me with something very obvious, because I'm a very low level. Right? My friends will call me and say, it will be my wedding anniversary, and my friends will call me and say, come, we'll go down to the pub. Come with us. Right? Wait a minute. This is competing with my Shalom Bayit. Maybe not. Right? Low level test, because I'm a basic beginner in Shalom Bayit. If I'm on a high level test, I'm already studying Shalom Bayit, I'm studying the books of the Rav, I'm davening, I'm praying, trying my best, never to criticize my wife, to do everything properly, then Hashem still needs to test me. Still has to test me. It's not like I get the day off now, I get the free time. No, but my test is a higher level. So now my test, instead of friends calling me, telling me let's go down the pub, or let's go to Las Vegas for the weekend, right? No, it's going to be a lot more subtle. My chavrut is going to call me and say, come learn Masechet Chagiga with me, or whatever it is. And you think, ooh, maybe I should, that's learning Torah. Or you're going to get a call from someone needing a chesed. You get a call from a friend that says, you know, I really need a lift to, to something important. I really need a lift to my brother-in-law's wedding. My sister-in-law is finishing Shas and has invited me to the Siyum. I can't get there. Can you drive me? Oh, it's a mitzvah. Maybe I should do that instead of getting the shopping for my wife. Right, so the test will just be harder and harder, but it'll still be the same test. Of what? Of putting Shalom Bayit first, above everything else. Because even though it looks like the alternative could be a mitzvah, maybe Hashem wants me just on this occasion to do something else and not worry so much about Shalom Bayit. No, on one occasion, my wife, she'll be okay once, just once. So it's not the root. Dugma achat hi sipur shel tamid achet. So Rav Arish now brings another example from a story of a different student. Gam hu haya nasui. Also, he was married. When he began to make tshuva, he was already married, and he began to make tshuva. But unfortunately, at the time that he began making tshuva, this student wasn't fortunate enough to receive guidance on proper Shalom Bayit. The rabbanim, Shedri Chotor, and the rabbis that he was speaking to at that time, Amruno Shehu Chayab Litakesh Imishto Ulochia Chota, and the rabbis advised him that he needed to be stubborn with his wife and to be very strong with his wife. Shesarech Sheyat Nala Tnaim, that she needs to live up to certain conditions. Right? There's certain conditions. The food has to be kosher. the, you know, whatever conditions of the house, the Jewish house we're living in. Wait a minute. They told him they should at least set minimum conditions about what you expect. She'im hi lo tishmor Shabbat. So, for example, that she needed to keep Shabbat. And if she didn't keep Shabbat, hu yigaresh mimena mikriyot sefer, he will get divorced from her, and things like that. Ad shi'u matzah et atzmo b'matzav shi'u omed b'fnei bereira. Until he came to a situation where he found himself faced by a choice. Or lahamshich b'teshuvah, either he could continue in his teshuvah process, ulo bedi tishto, and lose his wife, v'yaldav, and his children, or laredet mikola inyan, or he could just forget the whole thing. Right? He got to the point where the rabbis he was speaking to at that time advised him, not according to the ways of Rav Arush, told him that he needed to make it clear what his parameters were, what's acceptable for him and what's not acceptable. And it came to a position where he just couldn't continue. He saw that either he needed to drop his wife and his children, or he needed to drop his teshuvah process. They weren't both going to go together. B'nigud l'talmid hakodem shesipanu alav, and compared to the first student that we spoke about earlier, who haya kashum od l'ishto b'yadav, this one was very connected to his wife and kids. Lo haya muchan b'shum ofen la'abed otam, and was not prepared on any account to lose them. Therefore, instead of losing them, he decided instead to lose his Torah mitzvahs. Right? It was a choice of one or the other. And whereas the first one decided to forget the wife, I'm sticking with my teshuvah process. This one chose the other way and said, forget my Torah process, I'm sticking with my wife and kids. Who have sick lishmor Shabbat chule? He stopped keeping Shabbos, etc. Chazaliot kadam chiloni, and returned to living a life as a chiloni guy. Ubilvad shelo yabed mishpato, and the only thing is that he didn't lose his family. A shechach b'kol enina, and he just forgot about the whole teshuvah process. Yom echad, avar be'ezer somet drachim, v'kibel kaletet shelarav. One day, this same chap that we're talking about was driving in his car, and he came to the traffic lights, and lo and behold, at the traffic lights, there was someone giving out discs of the Rav, and they gave him a disc of the Rav. Hadiburim shebekaletet ho'ro oto mo'od. The words on the tape woke him up very much. Behuratzah ma'od lifgosh et ha'Rav, and he wanted very much to meet the Rav. But immediately he remembered what his rabbis had told him earlier. And he thought to himself, well, why should I go and see this rabbi? He's just going to tell me the same thing, that I need to give up my wife and kids. And I haven't got the strength to go through all that process again. However, in this case, he also felt that here was something different, or a different light. He wanted, in any event, to meet the Rav. And he came to the yeshiva. Harav lomed achshav amulo. They told him that the Rav is teaching now. And it's not possible on any account to disturb him. And he replied, this chap, and I'm not moving from here until the Rav comes to give me a bracha. Meantime, Rav ivchin b'tchuna haraba b'sha'al manina. In the meantime, the Rav understood what was going on, found out what was going on, and asked about what's going on over here. Amrullah, they said to him, Yeshkan Yehudi Shemitakeshli Kanesulat Torah. They told him, we have over here a Yehudi, a Jew, that is being stubborn, that he wants to come and meet you.
So you can ask Rav. Rav says, fine, let him in. If Nasi Yehudi was in Pelera. So the Jew entered and he told the Rav, Shehu Kanak let it at summit, but Shehu Kibel hit Oot Gadola. He told the Rav that he received a disc at a traffic junction and it woke him up very much. Gave him a simcha mi'adiburim sheshema, and he had great happiness from the words that he heard on that tape. Right, so Alif Goshet Rav, and he wanted to meet the Rav, shediber to diburim and then imim halalu, that spoke these beautiful words. Rav sochech, he talked and sat. The Rav spoke to him a little bit. V'kavayimo sheyasiyo oto le'echad mishur Rav, v'yidabru b'derech, and agreed with him that this chap would accompany him to one of the next shurim he was going to give, and they could speak on the way. The kafir til lehivatzer kesher amok bein atamid lara, and so began a very strong connection which developed between this student and the rabbi. Who echalishma bekibiyot klatot, he began to listen regularly to the rabbi's tapes. And to take advice from the Rav in all different subjects. Now, like we said, this student was not keeping Shabbos and was not keeping any mitzvahs. And the Rav, whose way it is not to push a person, did not speak to him at all about keeping mitzvahs. Only spoke to him about the things he wanted to speak about, about his business, other matters. And as a result, on the back of which, he began to learn emuna, to speak to Hashem, to make his body do it, and things like that. Yom Echad, Haned Me'atzmo L'Rav. One day, the student turned to the Rav and said, Shehu Ma'od Rotzeh Lishmor Shabbat, that he really actually wanted to keep Shabbos. Aval Im Ishto Rak Tishma Mizeh, he lo taskim. But if his wife only just heard about it, she would never agree. Kara Yeish La Ta'am Rap Peh Imashaya Pam Shabbat. Why? Because she already had a bad taste in her mouth from the previous occasion when he tried to get through. But as Hitchil Sapel Rav, Lagolelofanav et Masechta Yisurim, and then he began to explain to the Rav and to pour out the whole list of sufferings that he had. Kashachazab Shuva Papama Kudemet, when he tried to make Shuva the first time. The Sharabanim Hichaetiman Amula Butsura Khan Mashvayichu Khayav Hikaresh Mishto. And about the rabbis that advised him that he needed to divorce his wife in Hilo Shomer and Shabbat if he didn't keep Shabbat. And if she didn't make tshuva, etc. He wasn't prepared to lose his family, and he dropped his tshuva completely. And now it seems like the same story is now repeating itself. He wants to start keeping Shabbat, and she's not going to do it. And so he's expecting that the rabbi is going to tell him, like he heard before, that he has to divorce his wife. She's not going to be interested in keeping the mitzvah. Kavod Rav, says the student, and he wants to say lachzor b'tshuva. I do want to make tshuva. Bacha, and he cried, aval ani lo yachol la'aved et ishti v'yiladi, ma'aseh, but I can't give up my wife and my children. What can I do? Likaresh, to get divorced, Tamarad, the Mapiton, the Rav, are you crazy? Why do you want to get divorced? Hayudi Pasak Mibibichyo, the Jew stopped crying, Berimanaim, and lifted his eyes. Oshoa Tatarab,
mitkasher la'amin, and asked the Rav, Ma lo tzarich legaresh, in a voice that he said it in a way that it was hard to believe. What? I don't have to get divorced. Ma pitom, of course not, Amar Rav, said the Rav. Adrab, on the contrary, to a heavy tishtacha, you should love your wife. Al tagid la mila al shmirat Shabbat. Don't say one word to her about keeping Shabbos. Al ta'ila shum hera. Don't criticize her at all. Binyanei kashrut, in any relation to keeping kosher. Rak tagid la she'ata rotzeh lichyot kach, b'li shezeh yechayev ota o yafri'a lach. Just tell her that you want to live this way, right, to make shuvah, without obligating her or disturbing her at all from anything that she wants to do. Vegam tefatzota b'chol minei drachim, and also you should compensate her in many different ways. Tagid la diburim shel ahava, need to speak to her words of love, machmaot, compliments, tignei la tachshitim, buy her jewelry. Shehilot tagish klal sheovda she'atachos she'tshuva hogat ba, so that she won't feel at all that the fact that you're making tshuva is damaging to her. Ve'lo tagish shum tachut im hatshuva shelcha, and she won't feel any competition with your tshuva. Adraba, on the contrary, she'tagish she'zerak chofech otcha le'ba'al yotetov. On the contrary, she should only feel that this has turned you into a much better husband. Shema kavedota, that respects her more, noten la, umakshiv la, that gives to her, that pays attention to her. Ma lo atamid. Student said.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy. Which bit?
I mean, I think it's a good thing. What I'm just saying is, I think it's hard.
Which?
But I don't think, getting through it. If you're going to have a Shomer Shabbos house, I think you need a guy, you both need a guy. There has to be a Rav involved. They can speak to both parties and answer questions.
So he's saying different. I hear, and that's the way most cases would do it. Most cases would try and put a Rav in to negotiate. This one wants, this one doesn't want. But Rav is saying that's not the way, because it's not looking at the picture from Shemayim, it's looking at the picture from down here. From down here, you've got two different people, two different opinions. We need to find a compromise, we need to work it out. You've got your opinion, that's valid. You've got your opinion, that's valid. Let's try and... But that's not the... It's not the reality of what's going on. The reality of what's going on is there is only the man. She's a reflection, and Hashem is testing the man. It's only about him. I'm making up a whole new reality, a dimyonot, an imagination. I'm creating a theoretical world that doesn't exist. When I try and deal with it another way, I'm saying there's the real world, which is Hashem. The man is being tested. His wife's a reflection. And that's the real world. I can choose to ignore that and say, no, my real world is different. My real world is there's a man and there's a woman. Woman has her views, she's got her rights, her obligations. The man has his views, his rights and obligations. Let's put in a mediator and work. It's very nice, but it's not real. I'm imposing upon that my construct of reality, which is not correct. The reality is Hashem's world. And I try and impose on it something that looks good to me, which I do every day in all situations. When I don't see Hashem, I don't have emunah. So instead of emunah, I create my own framework for how I think the world should work. Right? Person needs a job. So what do? I create a framework of how I think the world works. Let's make some calls. Let's write some CVs. That's my construct of how I think the world should work or the world works. Doesn't mean it's true. Just means what I think. I might have evidence. I can say, well, I can show you proof from here that works, and I can show you. But it doesn't mean it's true. The truth is, there's only Hashem, And if Hashem wants that person to get a job, Hashem's going to give that person a job. And if Hashem doesn't want it, it doesn't matter what I do. How many CVs, how many phone calls, how many whatever. If Hashem says no, he says it right. There's an underlying reality which is supersedes all of this. I'm playing a hatsagah, I'm just doing a show. Right? It's not real. But it's helpful for me to go through the way I like to see the world. I'm fooling myself at the end of the day. I'm living in my own fantasy. I'm living in my own dream world. And we all do that to a greater or lesser extent. We can see it better in other people. Right? We know other people who are mash living in a dream world, where they think that they're God and they're in control, and right, and they're living in Hollywood fantasy, la la cuckoo land. Right? Because they have their own construct about what they think their reality is. Their reality is, if I wear a shirt with a brand label on, I'm going to get a woman. Right? That's my construct of reality. If I smoke cigarettes like this, then girls will like me. Right? That's my construct of reality. Doesn't mean it's true. It means that's the world I'm living in. And I go ahead and I live that life. And Hashem says, fine, you want to live that life. We'll see how it plays out. Sometimes it will work and sometimes it won't. And you'll win, you'll fall, or you'll get. But it's not real.
But doesn't that develop a huge arrogance?
It has all sorts of problems. One of them is, yeah, for sure. But we're doing the same. And the same is true in marriage guidance. In marriage guidance, without Hashem and without Emunah, I'm just making up my own reality. I think the best way of... Fine. Sounds nice, sounds interesting, might work sometimes, might not. It's not the fundamental building blocks of creation. It's not what's really going on here. I'm just fooling myself. It's not real shalom by it. It's not, you know, even if I do compromise between them and this one agrees that she'll only buy from the kosher shop and this one agrees that he won't ask for a badatz label but just a normal rabbi, you know, whatever. And I think I've solved the problem. I haven't solved anything. I've imposed my solution, which may, if I'm lucky, not cause a divorce. But it's certainly not going to fix the problem, because that wasn't the problem. The problem was, this guy's got a tikkun. Hashem is testing him, and Hashem needs him to fix whatever midot. Unless that's the core principle, then all this is just for show. It's just nonsense. Even though it might look good, and Be'ezrat Hashem, it might look like it helps. I don't know if that's better or worse. When it looks like it helps, it's even harder, because it looks like, see, this is reality. This does work. And now I'm much more stronger of the view that nature is in control of the world, and it's difficult. So here the Rav's saying that in this situation, the way to solve it is, the man says nothing, lets the woman do whatever she does. The woman is irrelevant for him. It's only about the man. Let her do what she wants. She wants to go to the beach on Shabbos, fine. It's not your problem. Enjoy. Truth is, she's not going to want to go to the beach on Shabbos when I fix myself. When I'm doing what I need to be doing, when my head is straight, when I've got my emunah is strong, my mirror will reflect that. She won't want to go anywhere near the beach. She'll be making challah on Friday morning and right and everything else. And that will happen through a spiritual method. The spiritual mechanic, which is the true mechanic, won't be imposed, and it will happen, in inverted commas, naturally. And then we fix everything. Okay. And now your job is simply to wait for her. Right? To wait. Do nothing. Don't say anything to her. Just wait for her to get with the program. Right? He's probably going to say here, and his job is to pray. He has to pray to Hashem that his wife makes teshuva. Right? Nachman explains, look at Moran, that words of prayer enter the heart, just like words spoken verbally enter the ears. So words spoken in prayer enter the heart. They're a lot more effective, because when you tell somebody something in their ear, they choose to ignore you or not, because they know it's coming from external. I don't agree with you. I don't have to listen to you. I'm not listening to you. I don't like you. Whatever. But when those words appear in my heart out of nowhere, so now I actually listen to those words. For a start, I think they're coming from myself. I woke up, maybe, right, but they're words spoken that appear in my heart are not in my ear. Through prayer, it's the same mechanism. It's just a spiritual version of speaking. So my prayer, instead of saying to my wife, why don't you make sugar? Wife, why don't you keep Shabbos? And she's like, yeah. Thank you, go away, right? Instead, I go out to the field and I say the same words. Hashem, my wife should keep Shabbos. Hashem, my wife should cover her hair, but whatever it is I want. Where do those words go? In here. She wakes up one morning and thinks, maybe I should cover my hair. Maybe I should keep Shabbos. Ooh. Where's that coming from? Oh, maybe I'm changing. Maybe I'm getting thoughts of teshuva, right? Very powerful prayer.
I know a person. Whose family doesn't keep Shabbos, but he would like to keep Shabbos. But he's afraid of what that would mean to his family if he gets Shabbos.
Is he a kid?
He's a kid or he's a father?
No, he's a father.
He's the father.
He's really like afraid of what would do to his family. Because they have activities, you know, around the clock. So you're saying that if he would keep Shabbos, that he could keep Shabbos all by himself and let everybody else do what they're doing and pray for them.
Yes. He could do that. He should have instruction from, try and get in touch with the rabbi if he's like local, he's an Israeli guy. Maybe get in touch with Rabbi Brody. He needs to have a rabbi that he can speak to that with the program, right? His local rab might not agree, might not be. If he has a rab that is with
that's
this that's understanding,
it's not a Breslov.
Tough, but if with that he can turn to.
There is a rab to speak to.
Yeah.
Very open.
Then, yeah, for sure, to pray on it a lot, and he'll be surprised at how things will change. Did he have a copy of this?
Pardon?
Does he have a copy of this, the English version?
No, there's
an English version. The English version. The English.
There's an English version?
Gone to peace. Yeah. If you could send him the English version, and in particular, flag up this chapter for him. Like, this story is him. You have to see it in black and white that this is correct advice. This is. What's true and what's going to help him?
That's Shalom BT, isn't it?
No, this is Garden of Peace.
This what?
Yeah, Shalom.
The Garden of Peace.
Oh, Garden of Peace.
Right.
That's okay, I know that.
Yeah. Alright, so it's in chapter 11. It should have been 10, that's the beginning of the story for reading that. But yeah, definitely doing that.
He sent me a letter, an email, saying that certain things, terrible things, really were happening to him.
Yeah.
And I said to him that he should look at the days that he got the information about these terrible things and look at the owner, see what was being counted, and take that information to a rab. He was very interested in
looking. Yeah. Okay.
In fact, he was not, and he did it.
Yeah.
He did it. Because he wanted to examine what was going on inside of himself. He thought that there's a connection between himself, what David Omer is,
For sure. For sure there would be. It's all connected. It's all connected. Right. The interesting thing with people who make teshuva, there's a book called Oraganot is stories of from people who made teshuva and went to Uman, how they all got to Uman, and each one tells their story. And in one of them, the story is a businessman, Chiloni, Israeli Chiloni businessman, and tells his story about what happened to him. He decides to make teshuva. The family's lived Chiloni completely since they were born. Right? He just wants to make sure that he's been married for 10, 15 years, kids, etc. And doesn't know how to break it to his wife. Anyway, so the whole big story, but in that bit of the story, he says that he took his wife to the beach one evening. We sat on the beach with her, and I said, look, there's something I need to tell you. And she got all upset and worried that he decided he wanted to divorce, he wanted to leave her, you know, he got all very serious. It turns out that he says he started to become interested in keeping in Judaism. He's reading some books, and you know, maybe we should think about, you know, what you think about Shabbat and blah blah blah. He's trying to, and she says to him, "It's amazing that you're saying that, because I've also been, for the last few weeks, I met a friend a few weeks ago who started telling me about this rabbi, and I went to one of the shiurs with her, and I didn't tell you because I know you're against Judaism, so I didn't say anything. And she was secretly also becoming from at the same time, and they, right? Because that's what happened, because she's his mirror. So as he's picking up the vibes, and right, so even without each other knowing, I'm not saying that's the case in your friend's case, but who knows, right? Because the more he's strengthening himself, then that strength is really also in his wife, whether or not it's revealed yet. So he will be surprised that even if initially she shows skepticism and she's against it, if he's being true to himself, it's going to be reflected in her eventually at some point. That's why the Rav says in here, just wait. She'll catch on. You don't have to say anything.
The skepticism is on him, not on his wife. He's seeing true about her, but she don't know him. When he's saying, you know, my wife is against,
yeah.
This he's seeing, not his
wife. Yeah. Oh, that's what he's
saying.
Oh, all right. But the reality is, if the man is strong, and he's praying, then the wife is going to change without him doing anything. Hatamid sheshmat hagisha shel harav v'yatasecho shel emuna v'shalom. So this student that heard the approach of the Rav to this situation, and the wisdom and emuna and peace that he was explaining, kibal simcha tzuma she'yef shalatara, received happiness, a deep happiness that's impossible to describe. Kol hamarirot she'ergish ne'omah, all the bitterness that he felt before disappeared. And in place, he felt wonderfully calm, that he has now hope. That I can make teshuva and also to live in peace with my wife. And also I will pray on her. And Hashem will draw her close, and we can live together in love, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, according to the laws of Moshe and Israel. Kama Hashem tov, how amazing is Hashem. Kama Torah yafa mima, how beautiful and pleasant the ways of the Torah. And he ran with happiness to thank Hashem, to begin to pray, that Hashem will help him, to start anew, to respect his wife, that she will accept his new path. So it was. This student began keeping Shabbos again and fulfilling mitzvahs. He spoke to his wife about the words of the Rav, and also gave her tapes to listen to. And the wife also recognized here that there was a different light, the different approach, that he It's our Vava Derek Shel Rav Ratora. And she also simply loved the approach and the way of the Rav and his Torah. And in particular, she liked the fact that the Rav made the husband honor her. And not to criticize her at all, and not to push her away at all. She began to come to the lessons of the Rav, to listen to the tapes, to take advice from the Rav, till she also came close to the light of Emunah and Torah. Today they live together in a life of Torah. They teach their children in the ways of Torah. And they're thankful to the Rav that saved them, saved their lives spiritually and materially. Your feet.